Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. The athletic director of the University of Miami, Blake James, joining us here for a couple minutes. Blake, hope all is well with you, and thanks as always for the time.
Good morning. Doing well. Hope you guys are well.
Blake, we're staying home. I've been home so long, I can't get in trouble here, except I'm driving my family just absolutely nuts. I'm convinced that my two daughters and my wife hate me. I'm shocked by that. Well, I really am.
We'll have to see what their annual evaluation of your behavior is, Joe. And I guess...
Hey, Blake, we're all wondering, the testing and the numbers going up in Dade County, how do you start college football on time down here as one of the hot areas for the growth of the COVID-19 right now?
Well, I think the good news is, Joe, we're still a ways away from the season, but I will say when you look at what's happened over the last few weeks, it definitely gives you, a much more... concerning look than where we were at in just a few weeks ago back in June, where we really felt things were starting to make progress. And obviously this spike now creates a lot of challenges for that. And that's something that we're seeing across the country. Obviously Miami is a hot spot, but the spike in COVID has really picked up across the country. And I would say collectively in the conversations I've had with a lot of my colleagues, I think there's a real concern, but the positive is September still a ways off. We have a lot of time in between, and I think a lot of things that we all can do to help slow that spike, and hopefully that's what we have, and hopefully we're able to start right at the beginning of September as scheduled.
Well, the other one everybody's been talking about nationally is moving the schedule to spring. We've already seen the Ivy League come out and say that they're going to play seven games against conference. Is that one of the things you guys have to start looking at as well, trying to play a college football spring schedule?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that we've looked at starting way back in March, Joe, to be honest. It's one where this time has just really been a lot of modeling a number of different scenarios. I think where we're getting, Joe, is to the point where there's a lot of levers that can be pulled, and it's setting up timelines as to when we would pull those levers, and whether that's to start the season as scheduled, to again, moving the season earlier, to moving the season later, to moving it to the spring. So there's a lot of different scenarios that can play out, and I think have been evaluated. I think where we're at right now is we've continued to evaluate what the situation is, but I do think we're getting to that point where we're going to have to make some decisions in the coming weeks that will really shape the what the fall sports landscape will look like.
Blake, we've seen reports from other colleges around the country about a number of players, a number of student athletes that have gotten COVID-19. What's the thought process from the University of Miami and from you guys of not disclosing how many players, if they have any players, that have got COVID-19 since your testing on campus begun?
Well, it's such a fluid thing, Zach, when you get into testing and contact tracing and tracking. And so, we put out a pretty extensive plan that our great leadership at U Health had put together for us in bringing our staff and student athletes back. And so when you look at it, you're testing everyone that is really We don't have a bubble, like you hear about the NBA talking about a bubble, but we do have a facility that we have people coming back into, and whether those are individual staff members that have contracted the virus to student-athletes potentially contract the virus, then the contact tracing that goes with that, what that means in terms of those people being required to quarantine and all that. It's just there's so many different moving pieces to it that on one day you can have someone who tests positive, and then what is that impact, and then do other people test positive from it? And so rather than getting, and obviously we can't ever release names due to HIPAA, but we just felt that it wasn't something that was productive or helpful to be putting all sorts of different numbers out there, because I think a lot of times it just gets more and more confusing.
Let's get back to the other part. If you do have to move, and you guys have talked about a lot of different things, and I'm sure you have, do you expect the Power Five will make a decision together, or do you think conferences will do it separately? How do you feel it will play out?
My gut is, Joe, that it'll be a decision that collectively the Power Five, come to a decision as to what the fall sports season will look like. I'm guessing that the group of five, the other five conferences that play FBS football, will follow suit. But I know that Commissioner Swofford's been in regular conversations with the four other commissioners of the other four autonomy conferences, and my gut is that we will collectively come to some type of an agreement, and that's the direction that we'll move. If I was to bet, I would bet the group of five will move in that same direction, whatever decision that ultimately ends up being.
Could you see it all conference games and letting everything else go in and just playing the meat of the schedule? Could you see it that way?
Yeah, I can. Think when you look back to just what we just talked about with the testing and setting up standards and having it feel that the team we're putting on the field is gone through the same, safety precautions that the team we're lining up has gone through. I think there can be some challenges in getting everyone to a certain agreement. I think that's what we're working as a conference, and I know we're working at it as an autonomy group. Hopefully we get to that point where it allows us to feel comfortable enough to take our team and put it on the field against another ACC opponent or even another opponent out of conference. But I think that's the biggest challenge right now, which is why, to answer your question, I could see it maybe being easier that you get to conference-type agreements versus a collective national approach or even an autonomy approach. So, while I wouldn't say that's definitely the road we're going down, I wouldn't be surprised if it was one that we ended up deciding was ultimately the best decision, given all the variables that are going into this.
Blake, in the news or the talk about the possibility of maybe moving the season back, and if it is spring, is there a kind of collective thought process on players maybe not playing because they're getting ready for the draft, or that they don't want to get hurt right before their NFL career starts? Is that a fear for ADs and head coaches that if we do move it back, we might lose guys that don't want to play to get ready for the NFL?
I don't know that fear is the right word. I think I would look at it as more opportunity. I mean, take a young man in a program comes back for his senior year, even another year after they could have went into the draft last year and moved forward, and you hate to not have them have that opportunity. And I think if the likelihood that if it moves to a spring season, the likelihood that they would then take advantage of that opportunity, becomes, I think, smaller. To your point, I think there's some guys that would decide that it's just the focus of going on to the next level, and that's what they're going to focus their time on. And then what is the impact of that on the other, 100 guys on the team, and what does that look like? And so, that's part of the conversation. Now, at the end of the day, if we decide that spring makes the most sense, I'm sure that's where the direction will go. I just don't know that collectively that there's a lot of people that believe that's the right spot to be right now. And then you look at what's the carryover to future seasons and those types of things. And so, I get it's one where there's a lot of different ways that this can play out. And as I said earlier, I know a lot of them have been evaluated. I'm sure there's some that we haven't put much thought into. You know, the challenge is now it's getting to that timeline as to what levers have to be pulled at what point in order to make these types of decisions.
Blake, besides the Power Five conferences, everybody says, well, the Power Five, they'll be fine. They're set up to do it. What happens to the rest of them? Is there concern? The guys outside the Power Five to play Division One football, there's some conferences and independent. Boy, what happens to those guys? They're in big trouble. If you guys, for some reason, decide to take them off the schedule, what could you see? That could be bad, huh? Bad news.
So you're talking from a financial perspective, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to play with no butts in seats and no contracts and dependent on playing you guys to get checks. That's a tough one.
No, I think this fall is going to be a financial hit for everyone. I think let's just first look at the challenges. Just we've gone through a society and we've had millions of people across the country that have lost jobs. That I'm sure a lot of those people are people who buy season tickets and right. and go out and support their teams. And so there's going to be a financial hit for everyone in this. Even if everything from today went forward as best as we could hope for, I think there's still going to be some type of financial hit this fall. Is there an impact to non-autonomy teams on guarantee games? Yeah, but I would say the autonomy level in many cases, and probably just about every case, the financial impacts are probably greater when you look at the size stadiums and the number of people that are buying yeah. buying tickets in those types of situations. And so I think there'll be a financial impact for everyone. There probably are some autonomy programs that have a large reserve in place that may be able to handle it better than everyone else. But it's gonna hit everyone financially, and that's just the reality of where we're at. And I know different schools will take different steps throughout the process in terms of trying to mitigate that loss. I will say we're blessed to, with great leadership at the University of Miami, who have a tremendous appreciation for our sports, and that our president, Dr. Frank, and our senior leadership team have really worked with us on looking at different scenarios, and we've laid those out as to here's all the different models we believe could happen from a financial impact and what that right. will mean. And again, I'm sure that's what those other schools are doing. But yeah, to your point, this is going to be a financial hit for everyone. And it's one that honestly, Joe, if you look at some of the smaller programs, and I'll only use my experience at Maine, by not playing games or playing fewer games, there's probably some expense savings that there's not revenues to offset it. And so, right. For some smaller programs, I've never worked at an Ivy League school, but if you look at the Ivies, I mean, there's not huge TV contracts. There's not huge sold-out stadiums. There are still a lot of the same expenses that we have at our level. And so, while they're definitely going to lose any revenue they would realize, I'm not sure what the difference is between the revenue and expenses for them. And it may be actually a situation where programs at that level, the expenses you're recouping more than offset the revenues you lose. And I'm confident that's not the case at the right. at the autonomy level. If you lose TV and the ticket revenue.
Can you put your public health expert hat on for just a second? You've got 100+ players. What? Just run me through a day and your biggest concerns for all these players. They're coming from different places, doing different things. They're young guys. Just take me through, as you get up in the morning, your biggest concerns and getting through stuff and getting players to change certain things to try to stay healthy.
I think, Joe, what it comes down to is just changing habits, and we see that in the community. Again, there's been a push for everyone to wear masks on every opportunity that they can. Obviously, you can't wear a mask while you're eating something, but to wear a mask constantly. And I think that the thing that we've talked with our young people, both in our men's and women's sports, about is what they're doing when they're away from our facility. Because when they're in our facility, I'm confident that they're going to be following all the rules that we've put in place, from social distancing to unnecessary contact with others to sanitary protocols to obviously wearing their mask. But when they go home and when they go out in the community and they're with friends either that are with the program or that maybe aren't involved in the program, or they're with family or whatever it is everyone doing all those steps that we're really working with them to be actively participating right. in when they're in our facility? And I think that's the challenge that we have, with each one of our people in our program, whether that's staff or students,
right.
is what are all the habits that they're practicing when they're not in our facility? Because again, when we're in our facility, again, it's not a bubble, but I feel that, given all the thought and people who are public health experts, which I'm definitely not, but I'm blessed to be able to have their guidance in this. When you look at the system we've put in place, I'm not as concerned, and that's not to say anything can't happen at our facility, but I'm not as concerned as in our facility as the other hours in the day that they're not in our facility,
right.
and they're just out in the community, and you don't have either everyone in the community following those guidelines, or even people wanting just to maybe fit in. And if everyone's not wearing a mask, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. And that's the approach that we can't take. We need everyone. If people want college sports, I'll say that we need everyone to buy in and follow the guidelines that are being put out there and listening to our public health experts, which again, I'm not one.
No, I know that.
Sports,
right.
So
I do too.
I'm listening to what they say.
Hey, by the way, real quickly, how often do you test the players? How often are they getting tested at school right now?
It varies. It varies in terms of different situations. But, Joe, I would say that, based on the plan that we have in place, on average, they're going to be tested every few weeks. Again, that ramps up at different times. But it's a plan that is well laid out. There's not a specific answer to your question, because it's going to vary for different individuals based on what the situation is. But I would say, safe answer to say is everyone's getting tested every few weeks, some more often, and I would say that's probably at the best way to answer that question without going into each individual and saying, okay, this person's going to test on this date and this date and this date because of this, and this one's only going to do this date because of this. It's, again, there's just, I think, a lot of different factors that go into determining who's testing.
Blake, I hope we never have to go through this again,
right.
So we have to sit here and bomb you with what ifs with everything. So we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, and hopefully we do get some good news and people follow what they're supposed to do, and we can get the numbers going the right direction and have our football back. Thank you.
All right.
No, Joe, it's great to be on with you guys. Appreciate the coverage as always. And like you just said, I think the biggest thing, hopefully the message that we have people take out of this is, if we want college sports, and in this case specifically college football, we just need everyone really to buy into the guidelines that the government experts are putting out there. And whether those change and become different, regardless, we need people to follow those and really do it all we can to bring an end to this. And I'm hoping we don't have to have these conversations again in the future. happy to talk with you guys anytime something comes up.
Well said.
Thank you, Blake.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right.
You guys stay healthy. Take care.
You too, Blake. All right, that was Blake James, Athletic Director for the University of Miami, joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline.
All right, I want to tell you about Air Around the Clock. They're working. Yeah, they got masks and gloves, and the boys are already out taking care of all your air conditioning problems. First thing in the morning, Chippy's got them out. Yep, we got more than 100 trucks on the road right now, trained and certified technicians. Out early this morning. You called yesterday or you called early this morning. They're out already. They're out. That's right. They're ready. They're ready to take care of all your air conditioning problems you might have. And by the way, if you need a new air conditioning unit, we got brand new reams waiting for you. Yeah, we got it all covered. 40 plus years of experience, family owned. They know what they're doing, man. Open and ready and safe. You betcha. Mask and gloves from everybody coming out. They've been carrying UV lights and new amazing air scrubbers longer than anyone else. So this summer, listen, whether you need a new AC or repair, duct cleaning, attic insulation, or just want to improve your indoor air quality, don't sweat it. You can call Air Around the Clock, covering all of Broward, all of Palm Beach, a big, big area. And again, trained and certified technicians ready to take good care of you. Just call 1-800-741-1033, 1-800-741-1033 for Rheem and Air Around the Clock, always ready for you. These guys are fantastic. There for you yesterday, here for you today, and planning for your tomorrow. All right, I want to thank the athletic director, University of Miami, for coming on. Drew Rosenhaus is going to join us before we end this 8 o'clock hour. He'll join us in the next segment coming up here with the unknown. And, yes, everything's on the table. But, again, if the numbers don't start heading a different direction.
Well, what's your prediction, Joe? You just heard Blake James talk about it. What's your prediction for what happens?
It's
getting close, right? So
yeah. I think they're going to slide the season.
You do? You think they move all the way to the spring?
I don't know about spring, but you know, we got caught up on either now or spring. I could see them moving it, but I think there is a danger sign up that says stay away from the NFL. Don't get too close right to NFL's big dates, the draft, and make it where it gets too far into it. Then you push up against everything you need for next season, spring football.
Right.
The NFL season starting up for guys that might be either eligible as juniors, which UM's got some guys, or guys that will be finishing up getting drafted later on. I did like
your question. I found it interesting when you asked him if you think the conferences will all kind of be aligned and together on this thing, because I know we talked a little bit back about maybe like a commissioner for college football so that there's one voice, because I could see the SEC go, hey, we're going to play.
Oh, no, that's why I said it.
At a conference like the Pac-12 or you know, even the ACC's got schools down here, like Florida's in trouble, California's obviously in huge trouble. Like the SEC can just say, hey, screw you guys, we're playing.
Right. Yeah,
how about you could picture that scenario, right? Like the SEC goes, all right, we're going to play a 10-game schedule, rest you guys do whatever you want to do.
How about just 8-game schedule, just your conference games? Like, I know they've been talked about before. Get away from those cupcake games in the beginning, like Joe even asked Blake about, with the when you're going to pay a team to come into town, and a lot of colleges do that, they're going to lose that revenue. But to get college football back, that means taking away that first two or three games of the season that some including University of Miami that are out of kind of conference, but just play your conference games. If that's the case, I'll take it. I mean, I'll take college football in any way I can, but if that's the easier way to do it, to push it back a little bit, don't start it, you know, early September, but maybe even start it, you know, closer to October, just to give some more time. Then, I mean, I'd be fine with that. I can imagine that most people would, right?
I'm not sold the Power Five conference is all on the same page.
I agree with you. I don't think so.
I think the SEC looks at itself differently, and I think maybe the Big Ten's got a little bit of that, but I could see the other three being pretty good sports about this, but I just feel like it's just me. Just doing this every day and being around, I just think the Big Ten and the SEC look at themselves a little differently. And I don't know if they buy in or how much they respect the Big 12 or Pac-12 as far as that goes.
Or even ACC, right, at this point?
I don't know. I think ACC's got a little bit of respect because they have a major player in it all the time.
Right.
And
yeah, I mean, the Pac-12 can sit out. I mean, no one's going to notice anyway.
Well, that's stupid.
Just sit out, huh? Just not play.
The games are on at 1 in the morning. Like, just sit it out.
Right. There you go.
I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that if I was listening to the show from an outsider perspective, I would think that Hollywood is the old man on the show.
I mean,
I just don't enjoy.
You know, I don't enjoy Pac-12 football, and I know Joe does. So I like to give him a hard time.
Right. I don't think you enjoy a lot.
I hope USC, like Miami, I always tell you, Miami and USC are looking at each other in the mirror. I hope USC gets good again. I think it's great for football. I do. Looks like they're turning things around. They're doing better recruiting, and we'll see if the coaching's good, if it's the right guy who almost lost his job. And Mario Cristobal is just kicking ass up in Oregon, just doing unbelievable for a guy that thought he could only recruit the Southeast. Mario has been really good out there, what he's been able to do. So, yeah, I hope they're more of a player. Utah's a nice little story till they played Oregon, and we found out they were fraudulent. They were a fraudulent, really good football team last year. And it killed me because all I could do was think about Hollywood just loving it, watching them struggle.
Right.
So, yeah, I hope that the Pac-12 gets somebody. I like the old
days.
How's
Cal looking? Are they turning the corner?
Ooh, football?
Same boat.
They're really good at rugby, right?
We're always in the same boat. We're trying to get to 500, man.
What's the problem over there? They have facilities, don't they?
Academics is a problem.
It's too tough to get in?
Yeah, academics is a problem.
He's right.
Like in the old days, they had the 2% rule to let the Joe Rose 2% rule. Like, all right, you didn't qualify academically, but we're going to let you slide in here. Those are done. They're not doing that. It's tough. So, and once they do get you in, you can flunk out because not all the professors are playing along with, you know, like all these other, let's be honest, like all these schools, if these guys get in, they go, all right, come on in here, recruit. All right, you're a freshman. All right, we'll take these classes. They're all big fans of our football program. Take them. This professor, this guy, you'll be fine. You got to show up to class, but you're good. We don't have a lot of those guys at Berkeley. They're not big on the head football coach making more than they are after they write books and all the things that their professors do there. They're not big on some guy coaching a sport making 20 times more money. That's not. Mm. That's all.
Yeah.
They ever ask you to get involved over there?
Yeah, they send me stuff for money all the time.
Right.
They want you to like walk the sidelines and talk to players or anything like that?
Right. No. I haven't.
Check.
Haven't
I mean, you're like the third best football player ever to come out of that school, right?
That's so stupid. You're so, wow. You're just there you go.
A little
go.
Bit of a shot, but that's not knowing your history.
That's all right. Don't even.
No, I didn't know because Joe is the most famous person to come from his town in California. We did find that out.
What's well, that like have to do with? There's 17 people that live in this community.
Are you like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so being so stupid today about, like, Cal's had a lot of guys going to the NFL. A lot of guys. Back-to-back years, Chuck Muncy and Steve Barkowski were like first or second pick in the draft. Like Aaron Rodgers is not bad. Tony Gonzalez is really good.
Right. He's pretty good.
So, I mean.
All right, fine. You're top 10.
All right. You're top 10. Barely on this show. Barely top 10. All right. We gotta
didn't
go to
Keenan Brandon. Allen go to that school too?
Yeah.
Keenan Jared Allen. Goff?
Yeah, thanks. See?
All right, top 15. Wait, Joe, you're digging. Joe's going to knock himself out of the top 20 Cal players of all time here pretty soon.
I'm not in the top 20.
I love Joe, but he ain't Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch, Wesley Walker. Shut up, Hollywood.
Top 50?
By the way, Aaron Rodgers also went to that school.
I said Rodgers.
Yeah, he already said that.
Oh, okay.
You weren't listening.
Right.
Top 50? Can we agree on that?
He's top
50. No, I'm not top 50.
Yeah,
there's
I think
a lot
you're
of
top
good
50.
Players. No.
Bro, you guys are bad basically my entire lifetime. I can't ever remember Cal being relevant in football.
you don't pay attention to anything.
No, seriously. I can't ever remember Cal being relevant in football in my 30 something years of life here. Come on.
Do you remember USC dominating football?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. You remember Washington dominating football?
Yeah, that was recent.
We got to go to break.
Weren't they
here.
Just decent? I don't know. Pac-12 sucks. Games are on too late.
By the way, dollar in the jar. Pac-12 sucks. Is that dollar in the jar or no?
Weren't they going to start their games at like 9 a.m. local time so that people would watch?
Well, they want to get more East Coast people. They are hurt by that. They looked at some different things. They're trying to catch up with everybody for respect. First of all, biggest problem they got is the state of California's got all those football players, and all those football players aren't staying in state. That's a big problem. They're going to all the other schools that Miami's having problems with. They're going to all those schools.
They should move to like Wednesdays or something. Like the MAC has Tuesdays, the Pac-12 could have Wednesdays.
All right. Are you done? South Florida head? Drew Rosenhaus is coming up. We'll talk to Drew. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Drew Rosenhaus, agent, big agent in the NFL. He got, you know me, you ever think about this? Drew's got, represents enough players for two full teams in the NFL. That's crazy.
Two teams that would probably win a Super Bowl also, play each other.
Yeah, but yeah. No, he's got a lot of good players. Right, he's got the good fact players, that he's yeah. got, for all the agents out there that want have one or two players, and he's got like more than 100. It's crazy. All right, I'll tell you what else is not crazy that you got to call. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Listen, I don't know why you haven't refinanced yet. You've been talking about it. Probably haven't looked at your fixed rate that you have. In a long time, and if you're looking, going, God, do you realize we're 3.5 or 4 or whenever you got it years ago? Why don't you refinance and save hundreds and hundreds of dollars? That's what everybody's doing. And don't go to those big banks. I'm so tired of Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and looking for the perfect people. The banks are saying, we want to refinance for you if your credit score is absolutely perfect and everything's great in your life, even now. Well, listen. Got somebody else to go to that can get you a better rate in a lot of cases. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Even if your credit score's taken a little hit over the last couple of months, call Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, man. Any questions you have, he doesn't have to go around asking people. You get the answers you need quickly, and you can get going. That's what I love about Michael Kotze. He's always been about great service. This is how he makes a living. 7 days a week, he's got to work. Friday and Saturday and Sunday in the morning at night, helping you out with any question you might have so you can refinance. He's been in business since 1994. Triple A rating with a Better Business Bureau. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166254. Hey, I want to give you his number. I want you to call or text him. He and that staff of his will get back and get it rolling for you. 561-441-2730. Covering all of South Florida. 561-441-2730 for Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Super agent Drew Rosenhaus is going to join us here for a couple of minutes. Drew, thanks as always for the time. Hope everyone in the family is staying safe.
Yeah, great, guys. We are. Hope you're having a good summer under this crazy times we're living in, but man, it's exhausting to be affiliated with the NFL right now because every day it's something else, and it's just really a moving target, guys, to try and figure this out in terms of what the plan is.
Right, and that's I'm glad I'm bringing that up because I'm going to cut you off for a second. I saw that yesterday. Tom Pelissero wrote the tweet out that the NFLPA informed its Board of Representatives today that the NFL proposed that 35% of players' salaries be held in escrow to help manage costs during the 2020 season. Per sources, I saw your response to that. Is it a crazy ask by the NFL to do that?
It is a crazy ask. I was shocked that the NFL would suggest that to the NFLPA. The sacrifice that the players are being asked to make to play through this pandemic is immense, and everyone wants to see NFL football, and these are very trying circumstances that these players and their families are going to try to work through. And it suggests that to franchises that are worth billions of dollars, and a league that the owners never take a pay cut or give the players more than they're supposed to get, no matter how much they make. It just seemed ridiculous to me and really disappointing. The Players Association, and I certainly don't speak for them, but I saw their response was to tell the owners to go kick rocks, which is appropriate. The bottom line is that if there is a reduction this year, that's something that should be addressed in the future, in future years, especially when there's a new TV deal and when things get back to normal and the salary cap will have tremendous increases. But now is not the time to ask players to take 35% pay cuts potentially.
Drew, I'm kind of torn a little bit going back and forth on this training camp that is right around the corner if it kicks off on time like they're trying to get done between no preseason games and two preseason games, knowing that young players need preseason, some veterans need it a little bit, and trying to keep everybody healthy. I know the NFLPA has talked about no preseason games and let's just go 48 days of training. How do you feel about this?
Well, you know, Joe, I was satisfied with the NFL moving it to two preseason games. I obviously represent a lot of young players that would like the opportunity to showcase themselves in the preseason, especially to other clubs. And I do know that player safety has got to come first. And as much as I would like for our guys to get a game or two of the preseason to help themselves, either to help make the team or to make another club, I do understand the importance of keeping everyone healthy. And I know that playing in games is going to be the most challenging element right. of dealing with the coronavirus. So I support the union's position, but I do understand why you are torn between the two. Obviously, it's eventual that they're going to be playing games. I do think, Joe, that a lot of young guys are going to get an opportunity to play this year, whether it's on an expanded practice squad or whether they get signed. Because let's face the reality that a lot of NFL players are going to contract the coronavirus, unfortunately. That's just the harsh reality of it. I think anyone is in denial who doesn't think that that's going to be the case. And when players get it, they're going to be out of action for a period of time, and that's going to open up the door for a lot of young players to get an opportunity to show what they can do. So I think even without the preseason games, there will be ample opportunity for young players to have a chance to make the roster or to show other NFL teams what they can do.
Drew, we've seen other guys with other leagues about the opt-out. Should the NFL give players an opt-out if they don't feel comfortable and this scares them?
Absolutely. I think the NFL should, without a doubt, follow the other leagues' lead here, create an opt-out option. You know, it's not like these other leagues are asking their professional, the owners, to go ahead and pay the guys that opt out. So players should have the ability, if they decide that for their own reasons they can't play and they're willing to walk away from the bulk of their compensation, that should be an option for everyone. I think it'd be cruel to force guys to face penalties and fines and who knows what else if they decide not to play because of particular health reasons. I think it should be permitted for players that can establish that they've got medical reasons or family members.
Right.
And, you know, give everybody that option in the NFL makes a lot of sense.
Joe, bear with me for a second as I try to play a small word game with Drew Rosenhaus right now. Drew, I'm going to give you a word or two words, and you're going to have to try to explain it to me. Guaranteed mechanisms.
What the hell was that, Drew? Where the hell did that come from?
Drew, I've seen this stuff go for years. I've never heard of that word, those two words put together before. I just haven't.
You know, the Mahomes deal was one, guys, that I was hoping that would be a game changer. He's obviously the best player in the NFL, and he's a player who has an incredible amount of leverage, winning a Super Bowl, and his immense talent. And I think it's safe to say, without being overly critical, that his deal was not a game changer. You know, in many respects, it's a very long term. It's very team friendly in the early years of the compensation. It compares to deals that have been done with guys like Ryan Tannehill and Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan and others. You know, even deals that were done years ago compare favorably to it. I was hoping personally that the Mahomes deal was a game changer, would kind of raise the bar. Instead, you know, the total looks strong, but if you really study the numbers, especially in the first couple years of the deal, it really is team friendly, and you got to take your hat off to the Chiefs. The deal really favors them. There's no question about it.
Yeah, just help me out though. What exactly were guaranteed mechanisms? What's that mean that Steinberg came up with, or their group came up with?
Well, it's really a conditional guarantee mechanism. It's not fully guaranteed. It can become fully guaranteed if the team decides that they want to keep Mahomes. So, I mean, you can use that term. I think the better term is what we call conditional guarantees, which means it's not a true guarantee. And for a guy like Mahomes, I was really hoping to see maybe the first contract where the entire term is fully guaranteed. Right. Maybe if he did a five-year deal, it would be a full guarantee, meaning, you know, the same thing that we have in baseball and basketball. I was hoping Mahomes would be the first player to maybe get a piece of the salary cap. But none of that happened. And so, you know, now we'll look towards guys like Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott to get deals that will help advance player contracts.
Well, would you say this, though, Drew, because I said this morning. I mean, if he's happy with it, that's really all that matters. But I know where you're coming from. And I thought the guarantees would be a little bit more. But if he plays like a Rodgers, like a Wilson, like a Big Ben, like a Brady or Breeze, and he's good every year, he's probably going to see most of that money. Would you agree or not necessarily?
I would agree. But, okay. You know, one of the things that baseball and basketball have is in the event that a player gets hurt, right. You know, and can't right. come back, he's not the same guy. Look at Alex Smith.
Yep.
You know, right. Alex Smith was a franchise quarterback. He had a brutal injury, and who knows where his career is right now. I think what we're hoping to achieve in the NFL are more guarantees for guys, similar to what exists in the NBA and obviously in Major League Baseball. And I think everyone in the agent business was hoping that Mahomes would get a deal that would be a record breaker, not just in terms of throwing out a $5 billion total, but truly looking at the first 3, 4, 5 years and saying, wow, this absolutely changes the standard. And the Mahomes deal did not. And that, in many respects, yeah. was a disappointment in the agent community. I can't speak for Mahomes. I just know when you talk to other agents and other people in our profession, there was a hope that that deal would have been stronger in terms of full guarantees and in terms of the early yeah. aspects. And certainly no one likes a 10-year term. I mean, that's just too long in my boat. I've never done anything longer than 5 or 6 years in my career, nor would I consider that.
Yeah. Wow. Strong
Only
stuff
because
there.
You've got, you know, things change. You know, what if the new right. TV deal, the salary cap has gone up exponentially, and what if it doubles? You know, you don't want your client to be in a deal that, you know, is grossly underpaid and he still has 4 or 5 years left on that contract. That's a lot of leverage. And but again, you know, I try not to be hypercritical of contracts because I'm not in that situation, but I can't imagine a better player or a better situation than Patrick Mahomes. And I think everyone, player, agents alike, were hoping that players and everyone else was hoping that this would be a deal we'd all look at and not try to explain it or scratch our head, but just, you know, the consensus is overwhelming. This is a fantastic deal because if not for him, then for who?
Yeah.
Right? No, right? I mean, he said right. he's got to lead the way.
You're right. Does this hurt those other guys at all, Drew, before we let you run here? Does it hurt the other guys going, geez, I'm not as good as Mahomes, and look what he just did? What's that do
yeah,
for
definitely.
Those guys?
I mean, yeah, of course. If I'm the agent for Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson, you know, young stars that are also looking at new deals now or in the near future, if I were representing them, and unfortunately I'm not, I would be very disappointed, because I'm certain that the Cowboys with Prescott and the Texans with Watson are going to use the Mahomes deal as a precedent. And it's a very team-friendly contract, especially when you look at the first 3, 4, 5 years of the deal. It's tremendously team-friendly, and there's no question that teams will use that to their advantage.
Yep, no question about that. I do agree. Always great having you, Drew. Really appreciate
it. Thank you,
Drew. Thank you, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Drew Rosenhaus joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline.
Yeah, that's my old tennis partner, man. Now he's got kids and stuff. He's finding out what everybody else does. Hey, sorry, Joe. Can't play, man. Got to do something with the kids. Oh, really? Like, really? I'm losing you, man. Hey, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Listen, they don't have anything called brake at your South Florida Chevy dealers. They don't have a brake truck, but I'll tell you what they got. They got some great SUVs, man. The new Tahoes and Suburbans are out. Smoking hot this summer for you. But it's not just that. It's all the SUVs. I love telling everybody about our Chevy SUV family. We got all different sizes according to what you want. Yes, I'm a big guy and I love my Tahoe. It's got so much space, man. The new Tahoes even have more space. But I do want to tell you about the 2020 Traverse, making every drive worth the trip. It's a midsize SUV. It's spacious enough to accommodate a big family that doesn't compromise any style. And if you want something a little smaller, we got the 2020 Equinox SUV, also on fire right now. And my favorite, I always hit it last, the 2020 Chevy Blazer. Nothing's got a better look, in my opinion, than the 2020 Chevy Blazer. This is from a decade Chevy man, and how much I love it. Oh, the look is just spectacular, but the drive is even better. Yeah. The old Blazer, remember, you might want to see the new one, man. It is smoking hot and sexy. Hey, find your reason to switch at your local South Florida Chevy dealer. Convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.